Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. In your Scofield Bible, page 1112. And beginning with verse 30, we'll read responsively through verse 35. These six verses. Luke 24, verses 30 through 35. The 32nd verse is the text verse. And let's please stand for the reading of this passage. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? They rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us thus far. Thank you for the good report from high school camp. Thank you for our young people. Thank you for this great church and its many ministries. Thank you for the way that you've spoken to hearts already in this service. And that we pray that you'd bless and help us as we hear your word. Give us keen, attentive ears to hear, hearts to do. Bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, burn in our hearts tonight as we think of thy word and this truth or these truths contained therein. Perform thy purpose in this hour in a special way. Amen. I want to speak tonight from that little line that says, surely our hearts did burn within us. I want to talk tonight on the subject, divine heartburn. Divine heartburn. They said, as he talked with us by the way, they said, surely our hearts did burn within us. Fire is so often mentioned in the Bible. The psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. The word muse is the opposite of the word amuse. A meaning no, no muse, no think, no meditate. Yeah, you go to the amusement park, it's a no think park. It's a no meditate park. That's what the word amusement means. It means anybody can ride the loopity loop and the roundity round and the whoppity whop. The Bible says, the psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Jeremiah tried to quit preaching. I'm going to preach on that probably next Sunday morning. Jeremiah tried to quit preaching. He went out to a place in the woods and got a little retreat kind of place and said, I'm going to quit preaching. And he tried to quit, but he said, his word is in my heart as a burning fire. And he could not contain himself. He had to get back to preaching. At Pentecost, they described Pentecost as cloven tongues as a fire sitting on each of them. Elijah, in the great contest with the prophets of Baal, prayed down fire that consumed the sacrifice. John Wesley said, when asked the secret to his ministry, John Wesley said, I just set myself on fire, and folks come to watch me while I burn. Richard Sheridan said, concerning Roland Hill, he said, I often go to hear Roland Hill because his ideas come red hot from his heart. Isaiah chapter 6, we have the beautiful story there of Isaiah having this time with God. And it said that the seraphim took the tongs off the altar and took a live coal off the altar and placed them upon Jeremiah's lips. Fire has such a big part to do with the Bible. The describing Pentecost, the coming Pentecost, says He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Dr. Ottingay, in his book on Romans, says, you can take a barn that's been dilapidated and forsaken and out in the country somewhere, and nobody will ever look at it. Nobody will ever know it's there. But he said, I'll tell you what you can do, how that barn can get attention. You just take some papers out there and some dry hay or something, and you set that on fire, and let that barn burn, and folks will come from far and near to watch that barn as it burns. You know why churches are empty tonight across America? Because nobody's burning, that's why. Nobody's what we call on fire for God, that's why. You know why church doors are closed tonight all across America, and churches are having Sunday morning services and no Sunday night services? I like what Vance Havner said about that. Somebody said, doesn't it alarm you, Mr. Havner, that churches don't have church on Sunday night? He said, the thing that alarms me is the churches that don't have church on Sunday night do have church on Sunday morning. But you wonder why that churches all across America close tonight? Because nobody is aflame with the gospel of Christ, and nobody is on fire for God. That's why altars are empty and baptistry waters are not troubled. Why? Because Christian people are not aflame with the gospel of Christ. And here in our text, this text, they said, did not our heart burn within us? While we were walking with Him and talking with Him and He was instructing us, did not our heart burn within us? Now, I want this divine heart burn. I want my heart to burn. I want to burn for God. You see, a fire gives light. Fire gives energy, and fire burns out the dross. And I want to know what caused, if these people's hearts burned within them, I want to know what it was that caused their hearts to burn. I was preaching in Egypt in a small service, must have been a couple of hundred people there, a little an apartment kind of place that was, so the wall or two was knocked out, and about 200 people, I guess, were there. I stood to speak, and sitting right in front of me, in front of the pulpit, was an older man, real old man, probably 62 years of age or so. And he was sitting right in front of me, and he had on the cap, the Muslim cap. And I thought, well, good night. Hey, he's not going to like what I have to say. And they had a little glass of water right here on the pulpit. And while I was preaching, I shook the pulpit and spilled that water all over that fella who had that cap on, and he was absolutely baptized before he got saved. And so I said, uh-oh, that didn't have a chance to get him anyway, and he's a Muslim, and now then I poured the water on him. Invitation time came. He was the first person forward to receive Christ as his Savior. When the service ended, he walked up to the missionary there, and he talked to the missionary in his language, and I asked the missionary what he said. The missionary said that the fellow said these words: when Heil speak, heart burn. When Heil speak, heart burn. And that's what I want. I want my heart to burn, and I want your heart to burn. And as we meet here week after week, I want the fire of God to settle on this place. So I want to find out if these people said, surely our hearts did burn within us while He talked with us by the way. I want to find out what these people did or what the circumstances were that calls these people's heart to burn. That's what America needs, some Christians on fire for God. That's what America needs, some pulpits on fire for God. If theology would bring in the kingdom, when the wolf and the lamb be lying down together tonight. I mean, if Bible studies would bring in the kingdom, and I'm not minimizing the Bible. I love the Word of God, and I'll say a word about that after a while. But the Bible's a dead book unless somebody on fire is wielding it. I'm simply saying that we need an old-fashioned baptism of the fire of God, where Christians are on fire for God, and preachers are on fire for God, and evangelists are on fire for God, and deacons are on fire for God, and Sunday school teachers are on fire for God, and Christian school teachers are on fire for God. I was thinking a while ago, I wonder how long it's going to take us adults to douse the fire of these teenagers. I just wonder how long it's going to take us. I believe we can put the fire out real quickly, don't you? Let me tell you something. America is going to hell because of a lack of the fire of God. They said our hearts did burn within us. Now, what was it that caused their hearts to burn? In the first place, He talked with them. They said our hearts did burn within us as He talked with us. by the way. He talked with them. Now, how does he talk to us? Basically, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, he's in these last days appeared to us through Jesus Christ, and this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God talks to us in these days basically by this book. I have a word of knowledge. Oh, shut up. I got a whole book of knowledge here. God just told me there's a gallbladder back here. It's causing trouble. The third row from the, over here on this side. Now, God didn't tell Oral any such thing, or his son either. He didn't tell him any such thing as that. God speaks to us through his book. Through his book. Now, these people and these men, they did not have Matthew. They did not have Mark or Luke or John or Acts. They didn't have Romans or Corinthians or Galatians or Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians or Thessalonians or Timothy or Titus. They did not have Philemon. They did not have Hebrews and James and the epistles of John, Peter and the epistles of John and Jude and Revelation. They didn't have that. And they said, as we walked with him and as he talked with us, our hearts did burn. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you want to be on fire for God, you've got to live in this book. There's no other substitute for it. Somebody asked Dr. Tom Malone one time in my presence, Dr. Malone, how much Bible do you read every day? And Dr. Malone came and shot right back and he said this, every day I read the Bible till my heart burns. That's how long I read it. How many chapters? I read the Bible till my heart burns. And Jeremiah said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Now, let me tell you something. One thing wrong with our Baptist people is we're not Bible people. One thing wrong with us, we don't live in the book. We don't read the book. We don't memorize the book. These people said our hearts did burn within us, on fire for God. If you have any fire that's not Bible fire, it's wildfire. I'm simply saying that we need to be people of the book. How many chapters of the Bible did you read this week? How much Bible did you read this week? How many tears did you shed on the pages of God's blessed book this week? I thank God as I look back at my childhood. I thank God for my mama's Bible. I have it over there in my study right now. Same Bible. I thank God for the tears on my mama's Bible. I thank God that every night my mama got the Bible down and read the Bible to me. And she cried as she read the Bible. And she rejoiced as she read the Bible. How do these people get a flame for God? They got a flame for God because he talked with them through his blessed book. Secondly, their hearts did burn within them. What caused this divine heartburn? What caused their hearts to burn within them? What set these people? By the way, these same people, after this had happened, they're walking down the road to Emmaus, these Emmaus disciples. And Jesus was talking with them, but they did not know who he was. And they were discouraged, defeated, and depressed. Why, they said the captain of our salvation, they've taken him and they've crucified him. We don't know where he is. And they were discouraged. And yet, whatever happened to them in these few moments, when they said, surely our hearts did burn within us, these same people, discouraged and defeated, rushed back into Jerusalem and prayed with the people and prayed down the fire of God and prayed down Pentecost and changed the known world, and people were saved from all of the world. And let me tell you something. You can take some people like the folks that sit in this room tonight, and you can fall in love with the Word of God. You can be depressed and defeated, and you fall in love with this book, and you read this book till your heart burns, and you read it and love it and pray over it and weep over it and memorize it and carry it and use it and study it. I guarantee you, it'll set you on fire. But you won't have the real fire of God unless that real fire of God is based on this book. Surely our hearts did burn within us. Why? They burned because he talked with them. That is the second thing. How did these people get their hearts afire for God to where they went back to Jerusalem and prayed down a Pentecost and witnessed and turned the whole world upside down? Number two, he told them of himself in the Old Testament. He told them of himself in the Old Testament. You know, this book I hold here is not a math book, it's a Jesus book. He said, now can you feature? He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. They had a pretty long Bible study there. They stayed late that night. beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded concerning himself. Now, what is Moses? First five books in the Bible. Pentateuch. Where did he start? You know where he started. Genesis 3:15. When he promised that the seed of woman would someday bruise the head of the serpent, and the head of the serpent would someday bruise the seed of woman. Now, can you picture him? Here are these defeated, sad disciples. You know, I tell you what this old dead country needs and what our dead, dry, dusty churches need is to hear about Jesus in this book. That's what they need. Not some little Jesus that's a flimsy character of history. Not some little Jesus that was tempted by Mary Magdalene, as the wicked movie talks about. Not a Jesus that's not virgin-born. Not a Jesus that's not perfect. Not a Jesus that didn't die vicariously. But I'm talking about the living, perfect, virgin-born Son of God who lived a perfect life above sin, went to Calvary and bore our sins in His body on the tree, and rose again after 72 hours and ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And tonight intercedes for me and for you, and some golden daybreak is going to split the clouds of glory and come back to this earth and risen. I'm talking about the Bible Jesus. And what Baptist people need in America is to fall in love with the Bible Jesus. So Jesus expounded, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, concerning himself. Now picture this little crowd of defeated people. Picture this little crowd of people walking toward the road to Emmaus, defeated, dejected, lonely, sad. And in just a matter of a little while, their hearts were burning within them. And in just a matter of a little while longer, they were a part of the great evangelistic crusade that swept 3,000 people to Jesus Christ at Pentecost and prayed down the blessed power of God. What was it that changed these people? Jesus talking to them concerning himself in Moses and all the prophets. Let me carry on that conversation for a few minutes. For those of you fellows here, what's wrong? Why are you so sad? Well, they said they're taking away our Lord. But there's a long story here. Most all this chapter deals with what they said to him. And he started to expound. And he said, listen, I'll tell you something. Remember the seed, the promised seed of Genesis 3:15? Oh, yes, we studied that in the synagogue. But he said, that promised seed, I am that promised seed. Now, their eyes were not open yet that they should hold him, behold him or know him, but their hearts began to burn when Jesus was talking about himself in the Old Testament. And he said maybe something like this. He said, you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? Oh, yes, we remember that. We studied that in the Pentateuch. And he said, you remember that. He said they tried to cover up their nakedness by fig leaves. They tried to make their own covering. But God slew an animal and took the coat, the skins of that animal, and made coats for them. That animal that was slain was a picture of me, the Lamb of God, that died. I'm the one that died, the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world, I'm the one that died. He kept on talking, and their hearts began to burn more. They did not understand why, but their hearts burned more. He said, remember that story about the ark of Noah when the flood came and that three-story ark was built with windows, one big window at the top. Remember that? Remember how that only 8 people were saved? He said that ark was a picture of salvation that I paid for on Calvary just 3 days ago. He said, and their hearts burned. He said, remember in Exodus chapter 12, the story of the Passover lamb. Yes, they remember that. We studied that in the synagogue, and we know all about the Passover. Jesus said, you remember that Passover night on the 14th day of the first month after the lamb had been chosen on the 10th day of the month, the lamb, a male lamb without blemish. That lamb was killed. His blood was shed. The blood was applied on the doorpost and the lintels of the house. Yes, remember that. Jesus said, that's exactly what I did 3 days ago. That lamb was a picture of me. I am a lamb. I was without blemish. I was a male lamb. I died.
And if you'll apply the blood by faith in me, you can be saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, nor the fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He continued, you remember, he said that tabernacle, Exodus 25 and following through chapter 40 of the tabernacle, remember that? Oh, yes, we've studied about the tabernacle in the wilderness. We know all about that. He said, you remember that brazen altar that was at outside of the tabernacle proper in the court? Oh, yes. He said that brazen altar was the symbol of the cross on which I just died. And that lamb, the lambs that were offered were symbolic of me, God's eternal lamb, God's complete perfect sacrifice. You remember that table of showbread on the right as they walked in that tabernacle? Oh, yes. That's a picture of me, the bread of life. You remember that altar, golden candlestick on the left as you walked in? Oh, yes. That golden candlestick is a picture of me, John 8:12, the light of the world. You remember that altar of incense there just before you walked through the veil in the Holy of Holies? Yes. That's a picture of me. I'm going to rise to the Father, and I'll be interceding for you as your advocate, your mediator, your daysman, your go-between, your attorney, your lawyer, interceding for you. He said, you remember that sacrifices that were offered? A lamb? Yes, oh yes. He said, I'm the lamb, submissive like a lamb. And remember the goat? Yes. I'm the goat, the sin offering. And remember the ram? Oh yes. I'm the burden bearer. I'm the sacrifice. And their hearts burned. They did not understand why their hearts burned. They did not know why the heart was burning. But I want to tell you something. We will never have a revival in America unless it's built on this book and Jesus in this book. Never will. You won't have to call some guy sets up a tent somewhere and put some snot on a rag and says, put this on your head and you'll be healed. He's the one who's healed, very well healed. You won't have revival like that. I mean, you can have all the words of knowledge that you can concoct and make up, but the only revival America's ever going to have is revival built on this book and the Jesus of this book. That's what caused their hearts to burn. Because Jesus, he talked with them. And because he talked with them concerning himself in the Old Testament. You remember that Day of Atonement? He said, as he continued speaking of himself in Moses and all the prophets. He said, you remember that Day of Atonement? You remember that? You recall when the day came and the high priest came inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat? Yes. I am the sacrifice. My blood that was shed just a few hours ago is now sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat. And I believe that with all of my soul tonight. I believe the very blood that Jesus Christ shed 2,000 years ago tonight is sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat in the glory world. And every time a Christian makes a mistake or sins, Jesus points that blood and says, Father, that too is under the blood. Under the blood. He said, you remember that blood that was shed on the mercy seat? Yes, I remember that. That was a picture of my blood. You remember the high priest that walked with his royal garments and his priestly garb? Yes, I remember that. I am the high priest that ever liveth to take away the sins of the world, Hebrews 7:25. You remember the smitten rock when Moses took the rod and smote that rock in Horeb, and from that rock gushed out enough water to feed all those Jews on their way to the land of Canaan? Yes, I am that smitten rock, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I'm building on the rock, I'm building on the rock. Jesus said, I am that rock. You want heartburn, you won't get it because you watch television preachers from morning to night. You want divine heartburn, you may get a sick stomach, but you won't get heartburn. By this, turn your radio on and listening to every radio preacher on the radio, you'll get divine heartburn when you take the time watching those TV preachers and get in this book. And take the time hearing those radio preachers and get in this book. If every Christian in America would spend as much time in this book as he spends in other books and as he spends hearing all kinds of concocted messages on radio and TV, our hearts would burn again. It's the book, and it's Jesus in the book. Jesus said, You remember that brazen serpent when, because of complaining, the Israelites were bitten by fiery serpents. They were dying by the thousands. Yes. You remember when Moses was told, came to God and said, God, what can we do? And God said, you take a piece of brass and you beat that piece of brass into a serpent. And you put that piece of brass on a pole. And you hold that piece of brass on the pole high. And you tell every Jew that's been bitten by the fiery serpents, if they'll look at that pole, they can be healed. Yes, remember that. Jesus said just a few hours ago when I was on the cross, that was the fulfillment of that. You listen to me. These people weren't saved because they turned over a new leaf. They're saved because they looked to the pole and the serpent on the pole. They were not saved because they joined a certain church or got baptized or turned over a new leaf or did some good works. They're saved by looking to the serpent on the pole, and man is saved tonight by one way and one way only. Look to Jesus. That's the way you get saved. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a 15-year-old lad searching for God and searching for truth. He'd go to one church one Sunday, another church the next Sunday. Finally, one day, he was headed for a certain church, and a snowstorm came. He couldn't walk that far. So he saw a little church over here. He stopped inside. The snowstorm was so bad, the preacher didn't show up. A layman stood up and preached to about 15 people that morning and preached on the subject, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Back underneath the gallery, they called it, was a 15-year-old lad and that little crowd of people. And that layman stood up and did the best he could. He said, "If you're not saved, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus." Spurgeon used to say, "Trust Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you can't run to Him, if you can't run, walk. Can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, look. There's life for a look at the Savior." And this layman said, "Young man, under the gallery, I don't know who you are, but look to Jesus and you can be saved." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon found the answer to his quest and the satisfaction for his thirst and hunger in the living water and the bread of life. And he came to Christ. And of course, the world's destiny was changed because he looked to Christ. Jesus kept on talking. They said, "Our hearts burned." Their eyes were not yet opened to exactly who it was, but something was burning on the inside. And they said, our hearts did burn as He talked with us. What did He say? He spoke with them concerning Himself in Moses and all the prophets. He said, you remember the cleansing of the leper, how that the leper was brought to the priest, and how that the priest took two birds, alive and clean. He killed one bird. He took the second bird and dipped that second bird in the blood of the first bird and let that second bird loose in the sky. He said, "That's a picture of me. The first bird was my death and my burial and the shedding of my blood. And the second bird was a picture of my resurrection and ascension back to the Father." And their hearts burned within them. He spoke concerning Himself. He spoke concerning Isaiah 7:14, "When a virgin shall conceive." He spoke concerning, I know He did, because He said, all the prophets. He spoke concerning Isaiah 9:6, which prophesied the coming of the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful One, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He spoke concerning Daniel. No doubt He said, you remember that story in Daniel? Remember how the five kingdoms of the world were pictured by the five different medals on this man? Starting up here with the head of gold and going down to the feet of clay. And remember how that a stone cut out without hands came and broke in pieces that last kingdom. He said, "That stone, I am that stone." And that breaking in pieces of the kingdom, the fifth kingdom that was coming, the breaking piece of that last earthly kingdom, the divided Roman Empire, He said, "That kingdom is the kingdom that shall be established when I sit on the throne in Jerusalem and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords." What this old country needs is this book and the Jesus of this book. Not a mathematics book, a Jesus book. Not a book of charts, a book of love, a love letter. Jesus in the book. He said, you remember, the fire furnace, the Hebrew children, and one was walking in there like unto the Son of God, Son of Man. He said, "That was me. I was there with them." You remember Jonah and the whale? That's a picture of my burial and death and burial and resurrection and staying in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Remember the 22nd Psalm? That spoke of my death. Remember the 53rd of Isaiah? That spoke of me being a lamb that was led as a sheep to the slaughter, dumb before his shearers. He said, you remember Hosea and Gomer when Hosea forgave his adulterous wife when she came back? He said, that's a picture of me forgiving my nation, Israel, and someday I'll turn to them, but that isn't all. I'll forgive anybody. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And all the time, their hearts were burning on the inside. They had not had their eyes open. They did not know that it was He yet. But their hearts were burning. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us? What did He talk about? He talked about Himself and Moses and all the prophets. You want to know how to make this book alive? Look for Jesus in it. Just start with Genesis 1. In the beginning, there's Jesus. Yeah, Revelation 22:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's Jesus. In the beginning, God, there's Jesus. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 says He's the mighty God and the everlasting Father. In the beginning, God created. There's Jesus. For John 1, 3 says, all things were made by Him, and not without Him was not anything made that was made. And God said, there's Jesus, because He's the Word of God. And God said, let there be light. There's Jesus, because John 8, 12 says He's the light of the world. And God, that's Jesus, because He's the mighty God, saw the light. There's Jesus, He's the light of the world, that it was good. And God divided the light, and that's Jesus, He's the light of the world, from darkness. And God called the light, there's Jesus, day. The darkness He called night, evening and morning were the first day. And God said, there's Jesus, because He's the Word of God. Let there be a firmament, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. In the midst of the waters, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. And let it divide the waters, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. From the waters, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. And God, there's Jesus, because He's the mighty God. Made the firmament, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. And divided the waters, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. Which are under the firmament, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. From the waters, there's Jesus, because He's the living water. Which are above the firmament, and there's Jesus, because He's the living water. And it was so. Bless God, there's Jesus, because He's the truth. I'm simply saying, look for Him! Look for Him! I came to that day when I talked about the waters and a cloud in the Bible, as you know, is a symbol of God the Father. The cloud hovered over the tabernacle. A pillar of cloud led the Israelites by day and a pillar of fire by night. That cloud is a symbol of God the Father. Every time a cloud breaks up and rains, brother, it's a beautiful picture of the Incarnation. God coming to earth. Every time that water seeps into the earth, it's a picture of our living water going into the earth. Every time the sun beats upon that water and lifts it out and causes that water to rise back up to the clouds that become clouds again, that's a picture of the resurrection of Christ and His ascension back to glory. And bless God, when it clouds up and rains again, that's a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, you say, Brother Howell, do you think all those are types of Jesus? I don't give a flip whether they are or not. They remind me of Him. Nothing wrong with that. Huh? I mean, if you're on a trip, you see some gal reminds you of your wife, makes you love your wife more. Well, not the gal, your wife more. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You hear a preacher somewhere reminds you of Brother Hiles. Nothing wrong with saying that fellow reminds Brother Hiles. And I think I'll pray Brother Hiles right. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you looking for Jesus in this Bible. And these people's heart burn. What caused their heart to burn? Series of lectures? No, sir. A movie from the latest gospel movie company? No, sir. A drama from the drama department of the local college? No, sir. When Jesus took this book and spoke of Himself in the book. You've heard me tell this story many times, but I love it. My friend Mel Rutter and his wife Dorothy had gone to the mission field years ago. They went to the field. They were still learning the language. They did not know the language. All of a sudden, they read in the paper one day about a liberal preacher coming from America to the mission field. But any American sounded good to them, and so they went to hear this liberal preacher who spoke through a little 17-year-old interpreter. They understood the English, but did not understand what the interpreter was saying. And this preacher stood up and told about a Bible that was not divinely inspired and verbally inspired. He told about a Jesus who was not virgin-born. He told about a death of Christ that was not vicariously done. He told about a Christ that was not raised from the dead. He made fun of the new birth, made light of being born again. And when he got through preaching, all of a sudden, people started running down the aisle to get saved, and revival broke out. And my missionary friend, Brother Mel Rudder, looked over at his wife, Dorothy, and said, "What in the world's going on here? That man preached nothing but heresy." And folks are getting saved right and left. They had revival break out. After it was over, Brother Rudder went over right quickly and grabbed that little 17-year-old interpreter and said, "Listen to me. We don't understand this. That man preached nothing but heresy. What in the world did he say that got all these people saved?" She smiled and said, "Me no tell him what he say. Me tell him about Jesus." Yeah, that's what the world is. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunrise at noonday, His glory is shown in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It's shining for thee. Sweetly the light is dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's the message this old world needs. This world doesn't need a sermon whether Mars is inhabited or not. It needs a sermon on Jesus from the book, the Bible Jesus, and the Bible of Jesus. Their hearts burned within them. Surely our hearts did burn within us. What caused that heartburn? In the first place, it was caused because He talked with them. And if you ever have the heartburn that God wants you to have and your heart burns and you get on fire for God, it'll be because you live in this book till He causes your heart to burn. It'll be because you fall in love with the Jesus of this book. Thirdly, they walked with Him. They walked with Him. They walked with Him. He talked with them. He told them of Himself in the Old Testament. And they walked with Him. Ladies and gentlemen, the pulpits of America are dry tonight and dead tonight because the men of God are not walking enough with the Savior. And the pews tonight are as dead as the pulpits because God's people have not yet learned to walk with Christ. What does walk with Christ mean? It means that in your entire life activity, He is your friend, your guide, and your companion. It means He's in your business. It means He's in your pleasure. It means He's in your courtship. It means He's in your schoolroom. It means He's in your fellowship. It means He's in your reading material. It means that that walk means the daily routine of life walking with Christ. I said to preachers all across this nation, you're not going to play golf on Monday. Take Tuesday off because you're nervous. Go bowling on Wednesday. Take Thursday off with your wife. Take your kids to the ball game on Friday. And then Saturday night late, get a sermon and get up and be on fire for God. I made this statement often. I made this statement the first Sunday morning of 1988. And I said this, I think, last week or so. I said the first Sunday morning of 88, I said, there's not been one single week in 1987 when I walked this pulpit on Sunday morning after having spent less than 20 hours a week alone in the woods with my God. I'm not going to shortchange you. I may not be able to do all the little things that are not in the Bible that a preacher usually does. But I'll guarantee you one thing. When I walk in this pulpit on Sunday morning, you can rest assured I've been with my God during the week. I'll guarantee you hang around God, alone with God, for 20 hours a week and you will get your heart will burn. Why? Because you walk with Him. I made mention last Wednesday night about this. Tuesday, I was busy all day, very, very busy. One of the heaviest days I've spent in a long time, counseling with people all day long. And I preached Tuesday night at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And all of a sudden it dawned on me at the end of the day that I'd neglected my Savior. I'd been busy serving Him, but I'd not given Him the time that He deserved. Working on a bus route won't set your heart on fire. Walking with Jesus and the Word of God will set your heart on fire and give you the energy wherewithal to work a bus route. Soul winning won't set your heart on fire. The Word of God will set your heart on fire, and Jesus will set your heart on fire, and walking with Him will set your heart on fire that will propel you to go soul winning. That's the energy. That's the way the fire is alighted and the fire begins to burn, walking with him. You give him time. I must hasten. What made these folks have divine heartburn? What made their hearts burn within them as he walked? In the first place, he talked with them. The Word of God. Second place, he talked with them concerning himself, beginning at Moses and going through all the prophets, and that means from Genesis through Malachi, he talked about himself. Thirdly, they walked with him. And they said, we did not have our eyes open then, but there was something burning in our hearts. Fourth and last, they were set aflame when they recognized him. What caused them to recognize him? What was it that made these people? What opened their made their eyes open? What opened their eyes so they could behold him and know who he was? Now, I'll give you what I think, and this is strictly supposition. You remember when they got to Emmaus? They said, won't you come and eat with us? I love this little personal, human side of Jesus. He said, No, I've got something else to do. I must go. Now, he wanted to eat with them. The Bible said he made as though he was going on. He acted like he was going on. Did you ever, we were at somebody's house and you started to leave and they said, we're about to eat, won't you stay? And you said, oh, no, I don't like pizza and banana splits and fried chicken and gravy and hot biscuits with butter oozing out. I don't know. I must go. Oh, come on and stay. Okay, I think I will. That's exactly what Jesus did. He made as if he'd go a little farther. Ah, so human that he was man and so divine that he was God. So like us that he was tempted in all points like as we, but so like God that he never yielded to any of those temptations. He walked in there. Can you see him as he walked in? Can you see him sitting there at the table? Well, he was the one that knew most Bible. He'd been teaching them the Bible concerning himself all the way. What opened their eyes? His body obviously did not look like exactly like it had looked before. You know, Mary Magdalene did not recognize him. Our body, the resurrection body, is sown in weakness and raised in power. Maybe there's as much difference between the resurrection, the body we have now, and the resurrection body, as between a little seed and the grown plant. I do not know, but they did not recognize him. They sat at the table, and I think they said, and this is all Heilsology here, but I think it's true. I think they said, sir, you obviously know a lot about the Bible. Would you be willing to bless the food? And I think the Savior said and began to pray. And they saw scars in those hands. And they said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. They recognized him. And they took off back to Jerusalem. Prayed down the fire of God and turned the world upside down for God. Why? Because they read this. He talked with them. Why? Because he talked with them concerning himself, beginning at Moses and going through the prophets. Why did their hearts burn? Because they walked with him. And why did their hearts burn? Because they recognized him. The only thing that they recognized, no doubt, were the scars in his hand. And they said, it's the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I've preached over 46,000 sermons. I do not know how many I have left. I don't know. But I want to be aflame. I want to burn! In these last years that God gives me. I want the hearts of men to burn when I preach. And
That's one reason why. Though I am a busy person, I give my Bible the time it deserves. And as I read it, my heart begins to burn. And then I read about Jesus in it, like a lover would look at a picture of a sweetheart. And my heart burns. And then I walk with Him. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And as I walk with Him and spend time with Him, my heart burns on the inside. And then as I turn my eyes toward heaven and look upon His face, my heart burns. My prayer to God tonight is that in the last years that God gives me, and whatever years I have left and whatever sermons I have left, people can say, like the Egyptian man, Muslim man said, when I speaks, heart burns.